It is a pleasure to be with you guys today. If you want to open your Bibles, you can open them to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians, it was a great time with the teachers and the workers last night. And I sense a great spirit there in the leadership and in every worker that was there, just a sacrificial spirit. And I know God's going to bless your efforts there as you seek to serve Him. But what a pleasure it is to be here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church. Amen. In God's country, Georgia. You know, what a great state. Amen. What, just so glad to be here in the house of the Lord. What a privilege to be able to come and worship God. But the message this morning that I believe God would have brought today is this. Make yourself at home. Make yourself at home. You know, that might not mean as much to us recently. We probably haven't had as many visitors in the last 2 months, you know, with all these stay-at-home orders and things like that. But you understand that phrase, make yourself at home. Well, there's two things we're going to look at that we absolutely need to make them feel at home in our hearts. But I hope this is a blessing to you. I hope it's an encouragement. Colossians chapter 3 is where we are. But in this book, Paul is writing to an actual church. The church at Colossae is a real church. And he's praying that the church at Colossae would walk worthy of the Lord. You can see that in the first chapter, the second chapter. He's praying, hey, I'm praying that you would walk worthy of the Lord. He desires them to continue in the faith, grounded and settled, not moved away from the hope of the gospel. He desires the riches of God's glory to be made known in the church, that people would grow mature in Christ based upon Christ working in them. You know, that's kind of the burden that I have for Crooked Creek. I'm praying that Christ's glory would show up in your lives as you are rooted in Him, as you're grounded in Him, as He's working in your lives. And Paul, he desires their hearts would be comforted. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2, he says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. He desires that they be rooted and grounded in Christ. He desires a renewal of their mind. He wishes that they put off the sin, that they put on the righteousness of Christ and be renewed after the image of Christ. He's praying for this church to grow. And that leads us to Colossians chapter 3. Verse number 15 is where we start the message today. Make yourself at home. What does the Bible say? The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. It says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You know, I was thinking about that idea of peace. You know, the peace of God rule in your hearts. People talk about inner peace today. You know, maybe if you read the comic strips, you know about, you know, the Peanuts. Amen. There was one called Lucy's Inner Peace. In one Peanuts cartoon, Lucy says to Charlie Brown, she says, I hate everything. I hate everybody. You know, some of you are laughing already. I haven't gotten the punchline yet. Okay. Wait a second. I'm getting there. All right. She says, I hate everything. I hate everybody. I hate the whole wide world. And Charlie, he says, but I thought you had inner peace. She replies, I do have inner peace, but I have outer obnoxiousness. I just hate everything. The world thinks they know what peace is, but they don't. You look at what's happening in this country, the unrest, the turmoil, they don't know what peace is. They'll have their own solutions with psychology and with entertainment. And different things that they try to put in their lives to get this peace. But let me tell you, any peace that the world offers is so much less than the peace that Christ offers. He says, let the peace, not of the world, not of entertainment, not of your favorite entertainer. He says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That idea of you must let it be in control of your heart. Says there, well, first off, as we look at the Word of God, there's two kinds of peace. Peace is being made right, feeling at ease. Well, there's the peace with God, that's salvation. You know, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We deserve to go to that awful place of punishment called hell. Why? Because we were a sinner. We're a sinner, lost in our sin. And the Bible says in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Amen. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a peace with God. That's salvation. But for the believer, and I believe that's probably who I'm speaking to the most today, there's not just the peace with God and salvation, but there's the peace of God that we need to rule in our hearts. What is that peace? Well, Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, he says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There is so much that's coming at us that wants to rob us of our peace. But God says right here, He says, the peace of God, He passes all understanding. It shall keep, it shall guard your heart, it shall guard you from those things of the world, from those things in life that seek to rob you of your peace. There's a story during the French War. A train was carrying dispatches to the headquarters and was compelled to go over 60 miles of very rough road and reach its destination within an hour. The engineer was the bearer of the dispatches and his wife and child were in the coach. Every moment threatened to pitch the train over the embankment or over a bridge. And as it rolled from side to side, leaping at times almost in the air, rushing past stations, the few people inside held their breath and often cried out with terror as they sped along. But there was one on that train who knew nothing of their fears. And that was the child of the engineer. Happy as could be, she laughed aloud when asked if she was afraid or not. She says, of course not, because my father is at the engine. A little later, the engineer came into the car to cheer up his wife, and as he wiped the great drops of sweat from his face, the child leaped into his arms and laid her head upon his bosom, as happy and as peaceful as when she was at home. What a lesson for the children of the Heavenly Father. We need to let God's peace be in control, in power. We need to let God's peace be the engineer on our train, the King in our hearts. Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It's an aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, this peace of God. You know, even as I was studying, Pastor, I was battling this in my mind. I was studying this, just to be able to have this message ready. And there was something that was just attempting to weigh me down. It's just a burden of life. Maybe you can think of some in your own life. Yeah. Things happen like that. Flat tires. Stay-at-home orders. Unforeseen expenses. Things that happen and they just want to rob you of your peace. There are things that we all face every day, but the choice that's up to us is whether we're going to let those things rule in our heart, or we're going to let the peace of God rule in our heart. What do you mean, Thomas? I mean this. We can know who God is. We can know what God does. God is a faithful God. You know, the times, they'll change. Our feelings, they'll change. Our experiences, they'll change. But you know who won't change? God. God will not change. His Word will not change. We can know that. We can trust in Him. We can trust the peace of God. We can let the peace of God rule in our hearts. I don't discount the reality of those worries, those fears, and those regrets. I have them too. But what I know and what I'm learning is that the peace of God can rule in our hearts if we choose to let it. If we choose to let God rule in our hearts. In order to do that, we need to renew our focus. What we're focusing on. You know, in here, Colossians 3 verse 2, Paul says, he says, set your affection. Start looking on things above, not on things of this earth. If we start looking at the things of this life and just making them dwell in us and rob us of our peace, we're not going to be the Christian that God wants us to be. We're not going to be successful. We're going to have issues in life. You know what? In Romans 15, verse 13, the Bible says this, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, not in feeling, not in sensing, but believing, in knowing
that ye may abound in hope. You just overflow in it through the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It's a choice that we must make. We must choose to look to Jesus. I must make this choice. You must make this choice to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Are we focused on Christ? The Bible says in Isaiah 26 verse 3, Thou, the Lord, will keep them in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee. Why? Because he trusteth in Thee. That's my prayer for you. That the perfect peace of God would rule in your hearts. But I can't make that choice for you. You must make that choice. To trust in God's peace. Peace comes from following Christ. Someone wrote this. Thousands of people each year visit the Winchester Mansion in San Jose, California. And I verified this. The story's true. This massive structure was built by Sarah Winchester, the widow of the gun company owner. For 38 years, from 1884 until her death in 1922, the house was under constant construction. 38 years, something's happening to build on the house. Teams of carpenters, masons, other workers were employed around the clock. Various stories have been told about the reason for this unusual practice. Most center on Mrs. Winchester's belief that she was either haunted or would be haunted by the ghosts of those that were killed by her husband's weapons unless she kept building her house. Others claim that she thought she would not die as long as building continued. Whatever the reason, she continued ordering more renovations and construction as long as she lived. And there are more than, get this, 10,000 windows in this mansion. There are doorways and stairs that lead to blank walls and some 160 rooms in total. It's estimated that she spent over $70 million in today's money on largely pointless construction. All in a desperate search for peace that was ultimately doomed to fail. Many people today are seeking peace through equally fruitless means. They turn to pleasure, drugs, alcohol, immorality, wealth, and other dead end avenues. Like the stairways that lead nowhere in the Winchester Mansion, pursuing such paths will never bring true peace. Instead, we find peace when we follow the path that God has given us in His Word. Those who keep the law of God in their hearts and obey it in their actions add peace to their lives. As we focus on Christ, we can let the peace of God rule in our hearts. As I studied, I found there's a great connection between the peace of God and the Word of God. Bear with me here. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law. So in Proverbs 3, verse 1 and 2, My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Isaiah 48, verse 17, this is precious. Thus saith the Lord, not thus saith the preacher, thus saith the evangelist. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee. He leadeth me. By the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hast hearkened. I wish you'd listened to my commandments. Then had thy peace been as a river and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. God wants you to have peace. God desires you to have peace. But do you notice the connection? The peace of God cannot come without the Word of God. Great peace have they which love thy law. My son, forget not my law, for then it shall add peace to life. Oh, I wish you'd hearken. I wish you'd listen and obey my commandments. Because then had thy peace been as a river. You say, Mr. Thomas, or, you know, Brother Thomas, I haven't had God's peace. Well, you can have God's peace today. It starts with the Word of God. The further you are away from God's Word, the further you are away from God's peace. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And verse number 16, look at it right there. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That idea of there behind let, it means give permission. You know, it's like giving ground, giving ownership. That word dwell there means to take up residence, not just visiting. You know, say I come and visit your house, right? And as soon as you open the door, I'm at the door and I'm saying, hello, hello. You open the door and I don't even say hi. I just run right past you and I go into your refrigerator and I grab a glass of milk. And, you know, well, probably pour the milk first and then grab, you know, whatever. And I'm just drinking away. Are you going to be offended? I mean, it's kind of weird, right? You probably would say hi most of the time, but you'll allow it, right? You know, we say that phrase, make yourself at home. We don't really mean it. We just say it. Make yourself at home. Because we don't want to feel bad because everyone else says that. Because, I mean, if I came in and I got a glass of milk, Brother Gent, you wouldn't be too offended, right? Okay, that'd be fine, okay. But if I unplugged your TV, you know, and picked it up, chucked it out the window, whoa, 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 what's happening here? I thought you said make yourself at home. I just felt like doing it. So, you know, if I was at home, I'd do it. Probably not. We don't really mean it, right? You know, make yourself at home. But that idea right here, we need to make someone feel at home. We need to make something feel at home. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That idea of taking ownership. You're not just visiting. You're not saying, okay, I'm going to let the peace of God, you know, come in and visit from time to time. No, I want the peace of God to rule in my heart. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Not that, you know, every now and then I'll dust the cobwebs off of my Bible and go to church on a Sunday morning. And I'm thankful for church. I'm so glad God founded the church. I'm thankful for the opportunity to come. But let me tell you this. If the only time you open up the word of God is when you're in the church house, then something's wrong. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. Richly. You're not just saying, okay, hey, you can come visit and make yourself at home. No. Word of God? Yes. Come on inside. Take up residence. I want you to make the decisions. When you say to the Word of God, make yourself at home, you're saying, you know, Word of God, whatever you say, I'm going to do. Lord, whatever you want, my answer is already yes. If the Word of God says something is wrong, well, guess what? I'm going to get it out of my life. Because I've made the Word of God at home in my heart. If the Word of God says something needs to happen, that something is right for a Christian to have in his life, then guess what? I'm going to do everything I can to get that in my life. I'm going to let the Word of Christ dwell in me richly. And this idea of letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, I kind of think of three things that we need to do. Not just reading the Bible, although that is so important. We need to read the Word of God. But it goes beyond that. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you. Actually take up residence in your heart, in your life. How do we do that? Three things, if you like to write them down. Number one, meditate. Meditate. I heard one preacher who said you got to moo and chew. You know, that idea of a cow. He chews something and then he chews it again. He chews it again. He thinks on it again. Think about your day. There are some things that you choose to meditate on. You know, maybe it's a worry. Maybe it's something you're concerned about. I don't know how the bills are going to end up being paid. I don't know how we're going to make ends meet. And you think about it again and again and again. Well, what are you doing? You're meditating on that. You're thinking of it. You're bringing it back up. You know what we need to do with the Word of God? We need to meditate on the Word of God. Instead of bringing up those worries and allowing them to rob us of our peace, let's meditate on God's Word. Let's bring it in. Let's let it indwell in us, saturate our lives. Not only that, meditate, but memorize. Find specific passages in God's Word that speak to maybe something that you're going through. Maybe a temptation that you have, or maybe something that you know God wants to help you in your life. Start doing, whether it's, you know, speaking right to your brothers and sisters, or your mom and dad, your children, whatever it is, the application, you need to memorize the Word of God. Let it dwell in you and make application. Meditate, memorize, and make application. You know, an evangelist, Scott Pauley, he wrote this. He said, American Christianity has too often portrayed that following a system of Bible reading is the essence of walking with God. Although that's important, he says this, this creates a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That's written about in 2 Timothy 3:5. He says this, merely reading the Bible will not take you beyond a surface understanding. It will not allow the truth to get beneath the surface of your life. We must go more deeply into God's Word and allow it to go more deeply into us. The Bible should not be read like we would read the newspaper, a magazine, or a good book. Why? Because it's a living thing. The Bible says in Hebrews 4 verse 12, for the Word of God is quick. That means alive, full of freshness and strength and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and that is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Peter writes in 1 Peter 1, 22-23, he talks about his experiences. And you think about it. Peter was at the Mount of Transfiguration. He saw Christ in all His glory. He saw the resurrected Christ. And he says this, he says, we have a more sure word. It's the Word of God. Now we need to let it dwell in us. We need to let the Word of God feel at home in our hearts. As I open the Word of God, I see a seriousness about opening God's Word. In Ezra 7 verse 10, Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Before he even opens the Word of God, he prepares his heart. He says, oh God, would you open my eyes? Would you help me see what it is from your Word that I need? In meditating, we're thinking God's Word throughout the day. In memorizing, we're remembering specific passages that speak to our needs. And in making application, we're taking Bible knowledge and we're translating that into Bible living. The Bible says in James 1:22, but be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We got to live the Word of God. We got to let Christ's Word dwell in us. Psalm 119 has so many great thoughts on the Word of God. God says this. Oh, well, the psalmist there, he says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Verse 97, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God guides you. He guides you through the Word of God. In verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Maybe you say, I feel like everything's so dark. Sometimes I feel so far away from God. The entrance of God's Word giveth light. Verse 136, rivers of waters run down mine eyes because I keep not thy law. You see, it broke the heart of the psalmist there that he wasn't keeping God's Word. What breaks your heart? What breaks my heart? Is my heart broken when I don't obey God's Word? Or is it something that, oh, well, I guess I didn't do so well today. Oh, well. He says it breaks his heart when he doesn't obey God's Word. Verse 9, wherewithal or how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Joshua 1:8-9. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Because if you obey God's word, if you let the word of God dwell in you, he says this, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever, wherever you go. I want you to have the peace of God, but it can only come after you have the word of God. We got to meditate. We got to memorize. We got to make application. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know, one person said something like this. The Christian life, success in the Christian life. You want success? He said it's not based upon what you possess, but it's based upon what possesses you. Does the Word of God possess you? Romans 6:7-8, they're all about the fact that we're no longer separated from God in our trespasses and sins. We are saved. We are reconciled. We're brought close to the Lord. I'm so thankful that He's adopted me, that I'm a child of the King. But let me tell you this. We have a throne on our heart. And we choose who sits on that throne. Let me tell you, Crooked Creek Baptist Church, too often I've let Thomas Simpson sit on the throne of my heart. I've let the world sit on the throne of my heart. When you know who ought to be sitting there? God. The peace of God. The Word of God. We can't just look at God's Word as a suggestion. As a way to make people happy about what we're doing. Oh, how you're doing? Oh, I'm great. Can't you see I brought my Bible today? It's not about others. It's about the Lord. We have to let the Word of God clean house, direct our steps, and change everything about us.
Amen. Help us, Lord.
We got to trust and obey God. In 1999, John F. Kennedy Jr. flew his small airplane from New York City to his family home in Massachusetts for a wedding. On board were his wife, Carolyn, and her sister. Though Kennedy was a licensed pilot, he had not yet been approved for instrument flight, which meant using only instruments to navigate. When their takeoff was delayed until after dark, Kennedy should have waited for daylight or sought a more experienced pilot to help. But he took off into the darkness. And the plane never reached its destination. All three passengers were killed in the crash. Investigators determined that the crash was likely caused by disorientation from flying over open water at night without any landmarks or visible horizon. Kennedy's lack of experience may well have led him to trust what he thought he was seeing more than what the instrument panel was telling him. Someone said, all of us face the temptation to walk according to sight instead of by faith. Faith in God will keep us from crashing. Human reason will fail us at times, but God will never fail us. His Word keeps us on the right course as long as we obey it. Make yourself at home. Two things. The peace of God and the Word of God. Make God's peace and God's Word at home in your heart. Trust His peace. Obey His Word. Say to them and mean it. Make yourself at home in my heart. Would you bow with me in prayer?